I grew up in Western New York State. My parents were known for renting me out on weekends and in the summertime to grandma or grandpa to help out with chores. Even from a small kid, when I wasn't strong enough to throw a bale of hay up into a hay wagon, I was still rolling them back to somebody who could lift them and stack them. My grandpa Bassett was one, if you were at the house and something was going on in the barn and he had to be there in the middle of the night, he came and would wake you up. I can remember helping him deliver calves, tying strings to the calves' legs and pulling on them to help them birth. And a lot of things were learned just being there and watching. Things were done with care and respect. And yes, it was about making money to continue and go on, but it never seemed like that was the only drive that drove you. I grew up learning woodworking. My father was involved in the building trade. He built two homes that we lived in during my lifetime. My father always expected that you be there and be his right-hand man. My dad was a good man, and he taught me a lot, and I think I just have sawdust in my blood. The lumberyard that my father worked for all of his life closed. My father never really had a degree in any kind of engineering or building, but he could do it all. Had been in World War II, stayed in reserves. To meet certain levels for his family, he reenlisted into the service. Within 6 months after he reenlisted, he was in Vietnam. He was in the Navy. He worked on a battalion that built bridges. My last 2 years in high school and all 4 years of my college, pretty much the rest of his life was spent there, because he passed away 2 years after he got out of the service from Agent Orange. I grew up wanting to get out of Cowtown. I went to school for teaching. That didn't quite work out all that way, though. I ended up in an incident in a teacher's room with two elder gentlemen who were plotting against a student, and I stood up and said something to them. That was the end of my teaching career. I got suspended. I was pretty depressed for a while, but I had a really good friend, dog named Mr. Bojangles. And Bojangles and I hitchhiked most of the East Coast and over into Tennessee, Kentucky, and it was in the early 70s, maybe 71. The people that picked me up were more attracted to my dog than they were to me. It was amazing how many different kind of people stopped and picked you up and then had conversation with you and wanted to know where you were going. And I would say probably 75% of the people who picked me up would either invite me to their house or say, listen, you know, you need a place to stay for the night. Why don't you come home with me, or a place where I could stay safely. And it was a real lesson in humanity. I ended up living in an artisan's community run by an elderly lady named Gypsy Hollingsworth. She was into old traditional weaving. She was just a very compassionate person. She took me to her home for dinner, and she walked through this community of people who were living there on her land. There was a writer and a poet. There was a glass blower. There was a potter. I just couldn't believe how close all these people were together with a common goal of helping each other and being there for each other. And there was an old log tobacco barn on her property that she offered me, that if I wanted to try and convert it to a cabin, she was open to it. And I lived there in Gypsy's settlement probably for about 4 years. And then I had a fire and lost my cabin, and life moved on. I got introduced to a local sawmill. The older man that ran the sawmill, I kind of befriended, and I always enjoyed going over to seeing him and all. We were there having a heart-to-heart one day, and he says, well, what are you going to do now? What do you want to do? So I told him, I said, well, for some reason, I am drawn to the water. And he offered to make a phone call to down to the Maritime Museum, to the boat shop there. He made the call. The next day I went down, and the third day I was working. It was that quick. It was just amazing. It was like starting all over in woodworking. The tools were the same, but what you did with them was totally different. It turned out to be a wonderful experience because I got introduced to a whole brand new group of people that I really liked. During the time I was working in the marine world, I also was teaching class at the wooden boat school. I would take a couple weeks my vacation time and go up to Brooklyn, Maine to the wooden boat school, and I taught an interior joinery class at the school, and I did that for 13 summers. The captain of the boat that I did the ocean crossing with was one of my students who was doing a restoration on a boat. He and I became friends. In the spring of 2000, I got a call saying that he was going to be doing this crossing. We did it. Went from Maine to Ireland. Extremely adventurous. We were in a 34-foot sailboat. All in all, if I ever did an ocean crossing again, it would be in a bigger boat. To have waves break over you the length of your boat and see nothing but a 30 or 40 foot wall of water getting ready to break down on top of you, and it was something. Now, our route was to go to Northern Ireland. We didn't quite make it there. On the way, another storm came through, and we had quite a time. We had lost our engine. Our batteries and all that stuff ran dead. We didn't have any lights on the boat. We had no more communication. We didn't have a motor, obviously. Didn't have any aid to help maneuver. We put up flags signaling that we were a boat in distress. We weren't in a mayday situation. The night the storm that totally did us in was over, it was probably around 9 o'clock. All of a sudden, the ocean went calm. And all of a sudden, it was like, we were in the middle of a pod of whales, and there were probably about 30 or 40 of them, and they were all right alongside the boat, and they were about as big as the boat, and some of them had little ones jumping around with them and stuff, and they were with us probably for half hour, 45 minutes easily, and then just like they came, they all dipped underwater at one time, and they were gone. But it was probably the greatest adventure that I've ever had in my life to this day.